gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm back from vacation. I'm fully prepared to do the show. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Mama's home. What? Although the kids been behaving 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm a little, you know, the sexy liberal show normally hot, Chris?
Yes.
It was in Tucson this past Saturday, and let me tell you what, it was hot in there. We took off all our clothes. Yes, indeed, we did. Oh, God, it was a... Because, you know, normally there's a little full frontal nudity in live sex acts in the sexy liberal show. The whole thing was naked. This was hot. It's really hot in July in Tucson.
Yes, it is. And
fabulous time. Yeah.
It's monsoon season there.
Oh, it was awesome. Awesome. We had a fabulous time. Thanks to everybody that came out to Centennial Hall for the sexy liberal show Saturday night. A good time had by all. Fabulous. All right, because I was on vacation there.
Yes.
I was at the Canyon Ranch, as they say, which was awesome.
I don't think they say the Canyon Ranch. I think they just say Canyon Ranch.
I don't care.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, but yeah, because we were, I did a lot of bike riding. It's actually, you can do it. You have to get up at insane o'clock like we normally do. Are you paying attention to me?
Not
listen
really.
To me.
I'm doing producerly duties over here.
Don't
it's what
pay
you
attention
pay me
to me.
Do.
Look, I'm back and it's our same old marriage. You're not really listening, are you?
What?
See? Okay.
Have some technical difficulties dealing with over here.
All right, fine. We have a regular Big Monday show coming up. The Rude Pundit, Edie McClurg, live in studio for Mondays with McClurg, and Eric Bollert next hour to co-host Right Wing World. All right, so can I just tell you one thing, Chris? I mentioned this to Hal when I called in last week. Even when I go on vacation,
mm-hmm.
I don't follow jokes. Jokes follow me.
Oh?
So I did the bike ride every morning because it was beautiful and, all the Sabino Canyon, it's gorgeous there.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You lived in Arizona. Anyway,
well,
so
yeah.
On a few rides almost every morning, I was part of the group is this woman and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you, I've never seen anything like this in my life. He got the most enormous erection bicycling that was so uncomfortable not to try and notice. You know that awkward social situation because, you know, there'd be a rest stop where you eat breakfast and it would just be one of those, like, avert your eyes. Avert
sure.
your eyes. Try to pretend. I was trying not to catch the wife's eye. What's what? I'm not looking
was
at it.
Was he wearing spandex?
Holy cow! No, he was wearing, like baggy shorts, and it was spectacular. If you're listening, sir, wow. That was, wow! Holy crap!
You need the bike riding group?
I'm like, wow, he really likes bicycling. What is that, seat made of Cialis? That is...
Wow.
I mean, it really was... I just... Yeah. I got the Wi-Fi a couple of times, like, don't do it. I know. Don't look at it.
Did he see?
No. Well, he just seemed very happy. Very happy. And it was, yeah. It's one of those. We've mentioned that we need to make a product called Gackaway.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're kind of trying to just, boy, that sure was a good, know, Gack. So that's what I'm saying. You need a product called Gackaway for those embarrassing social moments when you're not trying not to notice some distinguishing physical characteristic on someone.
How big was this group?
Not as big as his.
Okay.
It was wow. That was.
I didn't know people rode bikes in groups.
Well, yeah, it's a bike trip as part of a, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You couldn't ride on your own.
All right. What?
You couldn't ride on your own.
No, you wouldn't know where you're going. All right. Listen,
it's
that's not
canyon.
The important thing. I'm
there,
telling an erection story, and you're somehow.
Well, like, you would have avoided...
He doesn't need GPS because he has that. He's, yeah.
You would have avoided...
And men obviously go look for directions with that and not actual any sort of directions.
You would have avoided the man's erection had you taken a bike
ride
on your own.
I didn't want to go alone, for God's sakes. Like, I'm not alone enough.
Okay. I thought most people rode on their own.
All right. Anyway, it was quite a time. Yikes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. And I was with my bestest friend, 30 years, hilarious. She's a psychologist. Thank God for me. Thank God
yes.
for me. She, one night, because, you know, you share a room. She thought I was working out various personal issues I'm currently having, because she thought I was punching the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I was trying to kill a bee. Because I was reading in the middle of the night. Have you ever had that happen? And a bee, like, landed. And so I was furiously trying to kill the bee. I was like, no, no. No issues other than trying to kill a bee that landed on me.
Okay. Bee?
What's that?
A bee?
A bee.
All right.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Oh, we came up with another, as we always do, we came up with a fantastic money-making idea, which I'll now mention and someone will steal. But have you ever been, let's just say you're working out some, you know, personal issues with someone and you write that first letter?
Yeah.
We were thinking either there has to be something called firstdraft.com or newletters.com, which I think would be hilariously funny. Just, you know, it's like textfromlastnight.com. It's like people that drunk text.
Right.
Hilarious. All right. I have sexy liberal news. I can't even remember where everything is in my box. Oh, here it is.
Oh.
You know, when I go on vacation, I don't take my box.
Right.
So,
that
explains a lot.
Well, Hal had your box.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
All right, Boston coming up this Saturday. Kids, there's only scattered single seats available. Oh, give me my sexy liberal dating music. Because let me just tell you, I can testify from Tucson, people picking up some sexy liberal strange.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying. Wow. Where else do you meet other sexy liberal singles? At the Sexy Liberal Show. So, or you can take someone and just sit different places and then get, some sexy liberal strange with each other later or with someone else.
Sure.
There's just a few single seats, but they're really good ones. So, get it for Boston. This sexyliberal.com is the website. Boston is coming up this Saturday.
So you got to travel again.
Mm-hmm. Excited about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Although
I love it.
Boston is a lot more temperate than Tucson is at
this
time of year.
Later? Yeah. Later in Celebrity Stack, Kristen Johnson, remember from Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah.
Hilarious story. She was on a flight with Octomom and all her kids.
Yeah.
So see? That would have been me. Not just screaming baby, screaming Octomom baby. She's literally seated with the Octomom, the kids that would not shut up the entire flight.
My friend Jefferson flew back home to South Carolina this weekend, and he posted a picture on Facebook of his seatmates. Three toddlers and their parents.
Oh, my God.
He was on Screaming Baby Airlines.
That's special time. Special
to
time.
The East Coast.
Special. I might as well do it now. I love this story. Because I love her. You know she returned my dog once to me. You know
Kristen
you live
Johnson
in Hollywood
did.
When a sitcom star returns your
yes.
dog? Yeah, someone left the gate open many years ago.
Not
my
Octomom.
House. And she's very tall, Kristen Johnson.
Yes.
So I was like, twirl. Girl from the Third Rock from the Sun is at my over my fence. And and she brought Puff back, as I recall.
Oh, dear.
I was like, why, thank you. All right, so yeah, this is delisted. Octomom versus Kristen Johnson on a flight from JFK. The oh, dear God, this would be me.
Yeah.
And I love Kristen Johnson. I would so have had her back in this. There so would have been bar fight. We would have broken off those little tiny airline bottles, and we would have just gone at it with Octomom.
Yeah. And if you saw how well-behaved those children were on the Today Show.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what they're saying. It was on the flight, and she's...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we would have had such a girl bar fight in that plane. So, it says, delisted writing, just imagine you're sitting on an airplane that's already 2 hours delayed. You've got a soul-killing symphony of eight screaming churins in business class losing their... That makes sitting on a seat of spikes next to a broken toilet on a hot Chinatown bus headed to the ninth circle of hell seem like a first-class orgasm. Kristen Johnson, Third Rock from the Sun, was on that flight and did what anybody with a sense of hearing in an empty bottle full of Valium would do. She got in Octo's face. TMZ reports that Kristen told Octo to stick a pacifier of STFU into her kids' mouths or dress them up in dog costumes so she can transport them in a crate down below.
Oh,
no,
boy.
She didn't say that. But she did tell Octomom to, shush.
Yes.
Shush. Apparently this was when something like this. Octo, how would you like to help me keep 2-year-olds quiet? Kristen, get some more help. Octomom actually said, this has to be the new insult. Why don't you grow a baby and get a life? Oh, it so would have been on with me, with her. Really? I need to grow a baby to get a life. I need to grow that many of them? You.
Oh, boy.
Octo said, so then Kristen just scrammed on and got on another flight, and the Octomom said, I guess some people just don't like kids. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. It's not eight screaming children that you have absolutely no control over. Because
God, what a nightmare.
Oh, boy.
That entire plane should get a refund.
Yeah, just a big shout-out to Kristen Johnson. Love that story.
It ain't a man's world.
No. All right. So up next, that's right, scattered tickets, Boston. Get
Progressives of Boston. Does your heart yearn for Stephanie Miller?
Please come to Boston.
Well, weep no longer, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is coming to Boston, Massachusetts. The city Michelle Bachmann calls the home of the Liberty Bell. On July 16th, at the Wilbur Theater, renew the spirit of the original Tea Party with the comic brilliance of John Fugelsang, Al Sparks, and Mama herself, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000 or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's historic theater district.
I can see Boston from my house.
Progressive fans, this is your teabagger cure, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in Boston.
This calls for a sexy party.
Get your sexy on.
Yeah, get it.
Get it.
All right. Oh, and by the way, we've added several thousand more shows without my knowledge because this is a tour that will kill me. We've added a second show in Seattle, a second show in San Francisco. I understand. You know, people are getting very competitive about these two shows. I have a name withheld from Hawaii. Aloha, Stephanie. I am a longtime resident of Maui. I'm flying in specifically to see your Seattle show. No pressure, but you better be funny. I get a lot of threats regarding the Sexy Liberal Show.
That doesn't seem necessary.
You better be funny September 30th. I don't give a about the Saturday night crowd, them. But Friday, you better be a laugh riot. Name withheld in Hawaii. They're turning against each other. They are actively hoping that the other show they don't have tickets for sucks and that only their show is funny.
Oh, no.
They are all funny. They are all
kids,
funny.
Kids, you're kids, all pretty.
Kids. Oh, dear God. How much fun did we have Saturday night with Michelle Bachman's big gay husband? Oh, my God. Because I'm just, it's just, it doesn't get any better, does it?
No.
Today, I'm announcing my candidacy for president. Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. Morgans! Stop acting so gay! You're running for president!
Did you hear that she did not want to marry Marcus, but God told her to?
Really? God has no gaydar, apparently.
God has no gaydar whatsoever.
If David Guest... Psst, it's God. If David Guest isn't available, marry that guy. Oh,
who knew
boy.
God liked a good joke?
Oh, heavens, God. He's a scamp, as it turns out. Because it is comedy. All right, and then Bill from Vermont says, Steph, I blame you for the earworm that will be torturing me and my coworkers this entire long holiday weekend. Normally it would be Baby Monkey.
Yes.
Riding backwards on a pig, which, as we learned before I left for vacation, is the new favorite sexual position of most of our listeners. We're here to help. Yesterday and today, I've only been able to catch snippets of the show, but both times I tuned in just to hear your Marcus Bachman, clang, clang, clang goes the trolley! I've had to apologize in advance to my colleagues that I will be spastically and spontaneously burping this out this earworm until such time as a new one comes along. We'll find a new one. We always do.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we always do.
No worries.
No worries.
In fact, there may be one coming up today.
Really? Be still, my heart. We're back. All right. 18 minutes after. The president is going to speak live. By the way, the boner pulled out over the weekend so because you knew there was a big orange hole somewhere. So that's because he's orange.
Okay.
So... Yeah, we were very tense, obviously, placing our current Republican hostage crisis on the debt. The president will speak live. We will go to that. Much more to come. 19 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by the Office and Professional Employees and International Union, AFL-CIO. It pays to belong. We're going to talk to, hopefully, Michael Goodman, the president. They have a big victory in Buffalo, it looks like. My hometown.
Yay.
Mama's hometown. All right. Oh, there's new Obama posters, by the way. The president will be speaking live. We will be carrying that live about the debt crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, press conference.
Maybe he'll shoot the hostage. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Just saying. Here we go again. And then Eric Bollert moved to the top of next hour. Rude mm-hmm. Pundit coming up in just a few minutes. Julie says, hi, Steph. Oh, those cute kids on the interwebs. Baby monkey dog with a box on its head. Remember that?
Yep.
It's a bunch of dogs with different boxes on their heads. Oh, no, puppy, get the box off. And now, oh, by the way, Max and Fred, Mama's handsome romantic man, not happy with Mama.
No, well, oh, why not?
I was gone for a week. I was on vacation.
Did you have anybody watching
them? Oh, it's
like
them? A pissed lover. They're just were like sort of barely a wag. Talk to the paw, little wag. Okay. Huh. Oh, you're back. Oh, we didn't really notice. Yeah, they're okay now. I've had to suck up to them for like 24 hours.
Oh, God.
Oh, they were really mad. They were seriously depressed. I felt so guilty. My mom's guilt. Anyway, Julie writes, these are the latest unofficial Obama campaign posters. Keep calm and trust your president. Keep calm and chill the f*** out. That's the other one. Okay, so lots to get to, obviously, this morning. I was on vacation, so I tried to, like, shut off from the news, so I had to, and I was sort of like, you tune back in like a soap opera, and you're like, oh, Republicans are still being oh, wow, that's a shock. I wouldn't have seen that coming. yeah, so we're, I mean, it really is, what was it, 7 times we raised the debt ceiling under Bush?
Right.
I don't remember how many times. Reagan raised taxes 11 times.
Right.
We're in some new parallel universe now, I'm telling you, politically. I was in Arizona, my Barry Goldwater, my dad's running mate's home state, and I said, Barry Goldwater would be teabagged right out of the Republican Party today. They would teabag those black glasses clear across the room.
That he would. Yes.
Just saying. He's, you know, the famous line about gays in the military. This is in the 80s on the Senate floor. You don't have to be straight. You just have to shoot straight. Mm-hmm. Republicans currently, as we speak, are trying to slow down the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yep.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And Michelle Bachmann's signing all kinds of crazy pledges.
Oh.
Holy crap.
By the way, if she is tweeting pictures of her JJ to people, and I think she is, because she's kind of a freak, and her husband's the big gay husband.
Well, yeah, she's not getting any from her husband.
Right,
and
just as a public service, I'm mentioning that's how you know it's Michelle Bachmann's, because there's a cuckoo clock that pops out. I'm just saying. I meant to hit that. That's how you know it's her.
Yeah.
Okay. I was saying, I actually don't think this is a... I don't think female politicians are doing this, do you? I somehow can't picture Senator Boxer going, who wants to see a little picture of Boxer Box? Who wants to see that?
No.
Tweet. I just don't think so.
No.
It's a dude thing, and I still don't understand it. All right. So, at any rate, Timothy Geithner, Treasury Secretary, on Friday.
Well, we're going to try to get the biggest deal possible, a deal that's best for the economy, not just in the short term, things that will help make sure that Americans get some tax relief they need right now, like extending the payroll tax cut, which is about $1,000 for the average family, but also things that will help make sure we have room to invest in our future and help bring those long-term deficits down over time.
Here's the thing we keep saying, and this has become not a conspiracy theory anymore, Chris. I really feel like they want us to default because that will be a disaster, and they know that.
Oh, that's absolutely what they're doing.
And then they can go, oh, my God, look.
Yeah.
Now the economy's in free fall. Look what.
Mitch McConnell has said that his number one job is to make sure that President Obama is a one-term
Michelle
president.
Michelle Bachmann, someone asked her, you know, I guess the unemployment numbers are good news for you. She's like, yes.
We have that.
Yes, good news for me.
We
more
have
more Americans in pain. Yes, sir.
As the unemployment rate goes up, your chances of winning office also go up?
Well, that could be. I hope so. My candidacy is one that I'm presenting to be a job creator and to turn the economy around.
I'm sorry, Balsexa, did you misspeak there? I hope so. Did you just say, I hope so?
She did.
Yes.
That was on CNBC.
Listen up, all y'alls. Yeah. Yeah. You there, trying to keep your house and feed your family. And
I hope you continue suffering. Continue suffering so that I can win an election.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
wow.
Indeedy do.
That takes balls.
Marcus, how are those presidential pantsuits coming? I am sewing as fast as I can, woman! Tweet singing show tunes! Damn it, you're demanding! Oh, I hate you in your ass face.
Oh, boy.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with the Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sex, lies, puberty, betrayal, relay races.
Stephanie Miller.
Reflects the drama of the human experience. And isn't that the essence of art?
Sure.
Cha-cha. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, 34 minutes after the hour. Time to get rude because it's Monday. Time to get rude if my producer was back from vacation.
But the rude pundit.
You're fired.
Good morning, rudeness.
Good morning.
I'm sorry that your jingle was delayed.
That's
delayed
okay.
Gratification.
That's all right. You know what? I can always wait for you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, your rudeness. So the president obviously going to speak live at, what is that, 8 o'clock our time?
Yes.
Pacific time, apparently,
yep.
About our latest hostage crisis. I love your suggestion. You say what the president needs to say is, you know how we were playing this game in the legislative ballpark? Well, now we're moving to the executive one. You can shove all your budget cuts up your asses.
Yeah.
That's always the thing you hope he's going to say. Can he do that?
Well, I mean, I think Geithner threw a bucket of water on that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said there is no constitutional option. So,
yeah.
So there you go.
See, you and I always have our Schaff fantasy. You know,
we do. We always think there's going to be this moment where he just stands there and says, you know, screw all of you. I'm going to do, you know, the right thing.
Yeah, I sometimes wish he was a rude pundit. I love your stuff about the founding fathers or the 4th of July. You ended by saying, so on this 4th of July, suck on Madison's secular humanism, bitches, which I think will go down in history. James Madison,
yes.
One of the, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
yes.
That's a T-shirt worthy quote.
I think so. Suck on my secular humanism. That's I think. Suck it. I think we yeah, and put an arrow. yeah, because you know the teabaggers love their James Madison, but you know James Madison was pretty clear about the separation of church and state, and so once again, reality will always bite you in the ass. as opposed to our fantasy Obama, the reality Obama will bite us in the ass. Their fantasy founding fathers will always bite them. There's
yes.
a lot of ass biting going
yes.
on.
Yes, yeah, a lot of ass munching. As recorded by Root Pundit. So also love your stuff. Obviously last week was all Casey Anthony all the time. If you're watching, as you call it, contemptuous sneer of justice with Nancy Grace, is that the name of her show?
It is. It's just an hour of her sitting there staring at the camera with a sneer on her face, like you just, you know, stuck your finger in something nasty and put it under her nose.
She is horrifying. She really is.
Yes. Yeah. Oh no, she's just terrible, and she's terrible to listen to.
Yeah.
And she's got that awful little voice
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that
yeah,
that
they asked me to go on that show once. I was like, no. I don't think so. I'm sure I was supposed to be I was supposed to be probably the weak on Justice Liberal in some segment.
Right.
I was like, oh, no, thank you. Yeah. That's good.
Just to let Nancy call you like a repulsive human being or
yeah,
something
sure.
like that.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. I love, yeah, because, it's not, I mean, obviously, as you say there, I mean, there is a horrible tragedy at the middle of it. It's
sure.
just, but the circus surrounding it is just, you know, I mean, I love, first of all, like, all the pundits scrambling, oh, the verdict's back early, that definitely means guilty, What do you say? Guilty, it definitely means guilty, and then they're all like, huh? What?
Yeah.
I mean, what is the point of legal television? They're always wrong.
Well, I guess... I just love how Headline News, which I thought was, you know, updates every 30 minutes.
Oh, they haven't been that way in about a year or so.
Yeah, well.
They just have to fill time with people being wrong. It's like the legal version of Fox News.
Right, but now they showed, like, the entire trial.
Yeah.
Like, I was sitting in the only bits and pieces I caught of any of this was when I was in places where TVs were on that had some, like, the Nancy Grace thing. I was in what I've decided now is the worst bar in the world.
Yeah.
Where they had Nancy Grace on the TVs, and then
who has Nancy Grace on a bar TV?
Yeah, you were,
I don't know. I was drinking at a mall. Okay,
great
at the TGI McScratchy's. Great,
someone whose vacation was worse than mine.
Yeah.
I love this. You when the because it's the stuff they fill time with just makes it really. As you were saying, like, beyond horrible, you said Grace's show is on the TV. You saw a photo of Kaylee Anthony with the words that said, Kaylee would have been 6 on August 9th. She would have loved swimming. What?
Well, That was like an exact thing. I just sat there and thought, how do you know that? How do you know she wouldn't have had some trauma when she was five that made her absolutely frightened of water and screaming hysterical mess that would have affected the rest of her life and made her a drug addict and prostitute? You know, let's make up futures.
Just to fill airtime. Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable. So the other, as you know, shocking news too is turns out Fox is not doing actual journalism in Britain or anywhere else. Fox News mentioned on air once the horrific scandal with, News of the World?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just once, as you write.
Well, this was as of when I wrote this last Friday. I believe they've mentioned it. Oh, well, Brett Baer has definitely mentioned it twice.
Yeah.
I think it's been mentioned in passing, like, on Friday.
Well, because it completely blew up last week. They had to, otherwise.
Right, and we'll talk to Eric Voller more about that. But, Rude, I mean, in case people...
I don't think the Wall Street Journal has mentioned it yet. One of their editors, I think, is implicated.
I mean, the other thing is I was half paying attention because I was on vacation. I'm like going, wow, they don't ever shut a newspaper down. Why? And it's like,
especially a 125-year-old newspaper.
Yeah. And tabloid, whatever.
Yeah.
But
right,
as you write, people don't, if you don't know, it's about employees bribing cops and hacking into the phones of dead kids,
mm-hmm.
which literally like impeded the investigation, made the parents think the little girl was alive. I mean, it's
because,
awful.
Yeah, because her voicemails kept getting deleted.
Deleted. They were doing it.
Yes.
It could. It could be as many as 4,000 people who had their phones hacked. And now there's an allegation that they tried to bribe a cop to get information on 9/11 victims in New York, and that they might have hacked into the phones of the families of 9/11 victims. This is just going to get more and more horrible.
Well, Eric Boehlert writes, this is Watergate, and who's going to be Barry Goldwater? My dad's running, who has to come in and go, psst, Rupert, it's all over now. You need to go. You need to join Glenn Beck in his little internet crazy basement show.
Oh, yeah. Somebody needs to show Rupert the rabbits. It's time to walk him out. It's time to walk Fox News out to the pasture and say, look at the rabbits.
Yeah.
Look at the rabbits, Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
While they're taken down.
Yeah, yeah. Now, as you know, Rude, I don't normally engage in cheap sort of fat jokes and things like that on this show. However, as you know, the Governor Soros from New Jersey, because he is so morally awful, just this once, I will quote from your blog that says, Chris Christie is your fat future. A post with a bunch of fat jokes because he's so fat. Republican... What? Republican...
No,
wait, there's a point to this.
All right.
Because... he's so fat because he's taking for the people that really need it. All right, he's a fine American, Rube Pundit.
Sure.
Republican Governor Chris Christie is a gelatinous gobule of bile and bull that undulates across the weary floorboards of the New Jersey State House. That may have been one of my favorite sentences of yours ever.
That's very descriptive.
Bully, sir.
See, it's descriptive. It's
nicely
not really
done.
An insult. It's just a description of what he actually is.
Yeah, well, here are the fun facts. Democrats presented Christie with a $30.6 billion budget. Democrats had also included raising taxes on millionaires. What? To add a $500 million in revenue, of course, the Christie beast, not liking the LaMode on that pie, the LaMode on that pie, was displeased.
Oh, dear.
That displeased Jabba.
Yes.
So he line-item vetoed the... out of it. He cut assistance to poor cities like Camden and Trenton by over 90%, cut $50 million to hire back laid-off cops and firefighters, cut $55 million in college grants, which left less than he originally proposed, $8 million to AIDS-related programs, $9 million to women's health care, of course, Planned Parenthood, $9 million to mental health care, all cut. Essentially, Christie took the Democrats and their goodwill and sat on them, crushing them under the weight of his power and his ass, which is huge. I'm quoting from Rude Pundit. When it's really good, I just read it back to him. I don't care.
It paints a mental picture.
Mm-hmm. You'll hear the governor tout how he raised the amount of money spent on education. That's only because he was under court order to do so, since he wanted to slash it last year. It's like a judge told Christie, eat a salad, for sake. And now he's showing everyone the lettuce on his fork and bragging, see, I'm eating salad. You want to know how cruel a man can be if he hasn't seen his own penis in decades? There's this child advocacy and welfare center. It's in a hospital in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
Christie line item vetoed over 75% of the state's funding to Winona's house there.
Yep.
The state assembly speaker said, we're not talking about pork spending. We're not talking about special interests. We're talking about abused children. We're talking about traumatized children. And that...
I totally missed a joke there about, and Christie would know about pork.
Rude.
You missed one fat joke. Shame on you.
The good thing about the internet is that you can change it.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I'll put in a correction.
There
you go. I missed a joke here. I feel really bad. The thing I love about the Winona's house thing is that it actually saves the state money for this to exist. You know, they save $1,000 for every case, the state $1,000 for every case that they take on. And so they've taken on 1,000 cases, which I don't know, by my math works out to $1 million. And so to cut their budget 75% really just seems to be shooting yourself in your own large ass.
Which is impossible to miss, because it is literally the size of the side of a barn.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
A really, really big barn.
You know, didn't it used to be like in cartoons and you know, in plays and everything, we would have the fat, corrupt industrialist, or and that was our image, you know, a pig that's stuffing his face with money.
Yeah. And it has to have a taxpayer, and that taxpayer money's going to fly his fat ass in a helicopter and then get driven in a limo 10 yards to his son's baseball game.
Wasn't that the image we had of Tammany Hall?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
While you know, poor starving workers are being crushed under their hooves.
Right.
Yes.
So you know, I'm just really tapping into like historical political caricaturing when I say that about Chris Christie.
Yeah. Rude. Before you go, what? How? I know it's hard to predict. How is this going to play out? I mean, we were saying earlier in the show that they would prefer we default. Then it's the complete disaster they can blame on Obama.
Obama played what was seemed to be an interesting card in laying out this $4 trillion budget and telling them, or $4 trillion package, and saying, okay, you want to go big, let's go big, and then making them say, no, we won't even accept a quarter of this in tax revenue increases. At this point, who knows? I think that's why I go back to this constitutional option, which seems to be the way out if they're willing to take it.
Yeah.
I think it's time to force a constitutional crisis. There's been a couple of people that have written like that, that it's time to say, okay, you're making the balance of power is becoming so imbalanced now with this Congress. They're trying to, even though I think Obama has overreached in the executive and other areas in the executive branch, in this way, at some point, it's the good of the nation at stake.
You know, we were just playing the soundbite earlier. Michelle Bachmann went on record as saying, you know, unemployment numbers are bad. That's good for you. You know, maybe they'll go down. She's like, I hope so. She literally said, I hope so. Yeah. They'll go up. I mean, I'll tell the story again because where's my nostalgia music? People can't hear Mama's stories enough, even if I've told them 10 times. But you know my Republican brother, right?
Sure.
He used to, as people know from Stephanie Miller Show lore, he used to yell butkus. In the 70s, you know, the feared tackler, and then that would be my cue to run for my life until he tackled me in this particular day into a table with my mother's Ming vase or something that was on it.
Yeah.
And literally, we looked up and he said, Mom is going to kill you. See, and that's how that goes with Republicans, because clearly that was my fault. And so we were both punished equally when my mom got home. And I'm like,
That's socialist punishment.
I wasn't playing. I was running for my life.
Yeah, well, as far as they're concerned, they want to take the vase and break it over your head.
Exactly.
And then
shove it in your carotid artery. Exactly.
Right. And then say it's your fault.
Yes.
You shouldn't have been near a vase.
Why are you so clumsy with your carotid artery?
That's right. You put it right near that jagged edge. How could you do that?
The Rude Pundit, whom I love. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
All right, bye.
RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Mark. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Two minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Patrice in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Patrice.
Good morning.
morning, guys.
Hi.
You know, my aunt called me yesterday, and she's in her 60s, and she's a recipient of Medicare and Social Security. And she was crying to me yesterday, saying, is the president really going to make cuts in Medicare and Social Security? And she couldn't understand why he would do that when he said on the campaign trail that he would never do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt betrayed by him. And it's a lot of elders that I know of, including some in my family, who feel that this president has betrayed them. He's backed on certain things that he said that he wouldn't do, or certain things that he said he would do.
Yeah.
He turned around and did it. And
Patrice, first of all,
he's voting for him.
Yeah, I know, Patrice, first of all, I mean, the problem is he hasn't done anything yet. We're going to see at this press conference what is happening. Look, I share your frustration. I was gone all last week, so I haven't been talking about this. But, I mean, you know, I don't think the president, I don't know about you, but I don't think during the campaign he ever thought he was going to be up against what he's up against in this particular Republican Party. I mean, Patrice, you know what I'm saying? We have never, I don't know if people understand that, in our history, not voted to raise the debt ceiling. Ever. We have never taken that hostage. So, I mean, I think I agree with Rude Pundit that, you know, maybe there has to be a constitutional option here. I don't know why we have to negotiate. I agree with you. I don't know why we have to negotiate away Medicare and Social Security to.
I agree with you on that. But it's just the fact that, you know, there has to be a time when this president says enough is enough. I done reached out, I've extended as many olive branches as I could possibly extend. If you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for anything. And he's been falling for anything with these Republicans for too long. It's time to stand up.
But standing up and saying that might not necessarily get anything done. And so he's trying to get at least something done.
No, I mean, even, like I was saying, Reagan, I mean, they revere Reagan. He raised taxes 11 times. I mean, Patricia, you have got to raise revenue. There is no way to deal with this deficit. And I think that, you know, the main thing right now is job creation. That's what people care about. And it's, you know, we can't fall for this Republican line that, you know, it's incredible that they keep repeating the same thing that has been proven wrong, you know. So I'm with you, honey. I hear you. I'm fired up this morning. Just saying. Senator Bernie Sanders, you know, we have him on, obviously, all the time. Senators have told me if Obama sends a piece of crap debt deal to us, we'll defeat it.
Mm-hmm. Bernie. They bring to the Senate a piece of crap which really comes down heavy on working families and the elderly and the sick and the children, and they expect me just to matter-of-factly vote for it. They have another guest coming. So I think the White House might be in for a big surprise if they think that everybody in the Democratic caucus is simply going to willy-nilly follow the president and vote for anything that he brings forth.
You know, here's the thing I was saying Saturday night on stage, too, Chris, is what continues to frustrate me, too. If you look at polls, Americans are on our side in these issues. A recent Pew poll found 60% of Americans believe it's more important to keep Social Security and Medicare benefits intact than to reduce the deficit. I mean, it is not the way to reduce it. They believe rich people need to pay their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
There's two blatant sets of priorities that are in conflict here that I just and I get it that these people are literally impossible to deal with and may sacrifice the full faith and credit of the United States sometime very soon. And I don't, you know.
And they may make your interest rates immediately go up by doing that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not just this nebulous thing that's going to happen, you know, full faith and credit of the United States. It may affect you and your checkbook.
Yeah. Tim Geithner talking about that yesterday. No, or excuse me, Friday.
The sooner that the markets know that the debt limit ceiling will have been raised and that we have a serious plan to deal with our debt and deficit, the sooner that we give our businesses the certainty that they will need in order to make additional investments to grow and hire.
Yeah, you relabeled that wrong because clearly you're still drunk from vacation. That was the president, not Tim Geithner, talking.
Oh, yeah, you asked for cut two.
No, I meant cut six is what I said because we were still on the debt thing. Okay. All right. We're just, you know what? It's just a post-vacation day. Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Okay. I got two fingers, and the chat room will confirm that.
You bastards, you treacherous bastards in the chat room. All right. just give me cut six.
Okay.
There, chat room
if
six.
Congress doesn't act by the second, they will put our, they will downgrade our credit. First time in history. And if that happens, you're going to see catastrophic damage across the American economy and across the global economy. It's not something we kind of like. Failure is not an option.
Yep.
Yep. For Republicans, it is, because they mean it means they win politically. I mean, it just, you see what I'm saying?
The chat room confirmed it.
Screw you. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you, Tucson! Thank you! Good night! Sexy Liberal Show Saturday night in Tucson. Off the hook. Hot, hot, hot. Thank you, everybody, for coming out.
I think the kids say off the chain.
It was off the chain. It was hot in there. We took off all our clothes.
Did you?
Seriously. Awesome. Yeah, we did. It was a little different twist on the... It didn't turn out that well for me, the teabagging demonstration.
Oh.
With Hal.
Did you break a hip?
That was was a little more explicit than I expected. All right. What?
Was there nudity involved?
Sure. I think I just said that. Are you paying attention to me?
I don't think the University of Arizona allows that on
their
campus.
Well, too late.
Oh, boy.
All right. Boston coming up this Saturday. Just a few scattered single seats, but a lot of people picking up a lot of sexy liberal strange. So, and they're good. There's some good orchestra ones.
Yeah.
Eat it. Only very few seats left.
Does that include
Boston.
The meet and grope?
I believe so.
Wow.
I believe there's a tiny couple, few.
Okay. Little straggler seats.
Indeed. All right, and then go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Lots of great stuff coming up. Santa Fe sold out two shows. Hello, August 6th with Aisha Tyler. Detroit selling fast with Aisha Tyler and John Fugelsang and I. And then I'm not sure. I will not survive September and October, I don't really think. We have just added second shows. Let me just look here. Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Oh, Los Angeles second show just sold out. Sorry about that.
Okay.
All right, hurry on this one, I think. Yeah.
San Francisco, be still your hearts.
I left my heart.
Because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming out to you.
In San Francisco.
San Francisco, your favorite progressive hotties are here to recruit you.
It does fit well with San Francisco. It's very diverse.
On October 28th at 8 p.m., Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will perform live at the Broadway of the Bay Area, the Orpheum Theater.
Somebody did something big to get us here.
Tickets are available online at shnsf.com by calling 888-746-1799 or by visiting the Orpheum Theater box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in San Francisco.
Every other place in America is off limits to you except San Francisco.
Don't fault this show for shaking things up.
Ha! Ta.
Yeah!
Oh, Denise in Lynn, Texas says, Stephen Mooks, you can call me in for the Austin show in November. She's got tickets. We're going to mess with Texas.
Yep.
Yeah, November 12th. I purchased a pair of tickets a few weeks ago. I haven't decided which lib nerd friend I'll bring along. Please, just buy tickets and then pick your lib nerd friend later. It's like a draft pick to be named later.
Or just bring a random hobo.
Exactly. Or a tramp.
Why not?
Or a thief.
Sure.
Or bring a right winger for extra kicks.
Oh, yay.
Don't tell them what it is. All right. First of all, time for Right Wing World. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Now I'm hoping someone at the next meet and grope says, Stephanie, I'd like you to meet my hobo.
Yeah.
That I brought with me. Eric Bollard, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Great stuff on the Rupert Murdoch scandal. This is really... I was on vacation last week, Eric,
yeah.
And I was like, what the... I mean, it's really.
I've talked to a lot of people who are on vacation. They sort of saw the headlines, and then by the end of the last week, over the weekend, they sat down and read it, and everyone had the same reaction, like, what the?
Well, I mean, because you kind of, at first, it's like a little joke between you and I, right? I'm shocked to find out there's no journalism going on at a Fox News outfit. Why, that's, but I mean, tell us what it actually is, because it's beyond awful.
It really is, and this all started a week ago today when The Guardian, which has been hounding Murdoch properties about the phone hacking scandal, they had the exclusive that what they weren't just hacking, you know, the voicemails of celebrities and things. They hacked the voicemail of a young schoolgirl who had been abducted and was later found murdered, and they were trying, you know, the private investigator that Murdoch had paid, as Murdoch's newspaper had paid. Had deleted some of her emails to make room for other ones. So while there's a police investigation, they said, "Oh, you know, she's been on her phone, so she might still be alive."
Right,
gave the family false sense of hope.
And confused investigators about her whereabouts that may have destroyed crucial evidence.
I mean, it was. So what had been, you know, in London and England, there's been this long sort of cat and mouse game between sort of these slimy tabloids and celebrities, and they sort of give each other hell, and you know, the tabloids make life miserable, but these are rich and famous people, so ha-ha, they sort of deserve it. This took it into a whole nother realm. I mean, this was a young girl who was murdered, and they're playing games with this family. Criminal investigation, as you mentioned, evidence destroyed and things like that. So this just took it into a whole other realm.
I think they're going to bring back drawing and quartering.
And this is while Murdoch is also trying to dot the I's and cross the T's on his final acquisition of the British Sky Broadcasting, this big satellite company. So it came at a really bad time for him. So then, again, so the scandal erupted. This is the same company. Murdoch and his top lieutenants have been telling the British people and Parliament that, oh, we investigated all this. This was a rogue editor who did this stuff, and you know, we went to quote extraordinary lengths to investigate this, and we're fine, we're clean, trust us. And oh, by the way, the person who told that to Parliament in 2007 and 2009 mm-hmm. is now the publisher of the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
So
wow.
This reaches across the pond. This is part of the most senior level of the News Corp company in the United States. And now Murdoch is really, frankly, scrambling to try to save his British print empire, which was unthinkable 10 days ago.
Well, and you know, your headline says it, Murdoch's Watergate unravels. And I was mentioning earlier, you know, who's going to be my dad's running mate, Barry Goldwater, had to come in and tell Nixon, it's over. You know, I mean, where is this going, and how fast do you think?
It's going much faster than anyone thought. Again, we've had these sort of, particularly if you're in Britain, we've had these sort of ups and downs. Hacking revelation, it dies down. Hacking revelation, it dies down. So we've seen this pattern in Britain in the past. And I think last Monday, initially, people thought, okay, well, here's the latest. But then, again, it has exploded beyond recognition. And he, you know, Murdoch, rather than firing his, you know, top lieutenants, last week, decided instead, oh, I'm going to shut down a 2.3 million circulation newspaper that brings in $1 billion in revenue. He shut down the whole tabloid rather than let go his top editors who were responsible for the hacking. So it's spiraling out of control. There's now more police investigations and now more Parliament investigations. His satellite deal appears to be dead, and he's got a Wall Street Journal publisher who is at the center of what appears to have been a cover-up.
Well, the good news is maybe he can get an internet TV show like Glenn Beck, so it's not like he'll have no options. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's happening. Let's see. Mike Huckabee on Cavuto on the president's economic policy.
If you take a lit match and put it in a can of gasoline and it keeps blowing up, you know, you need to get rid of either the match or the gasoline. At some point, the president is going to have to accept the fact that his economic policies are failing. They're failing.
Wow. I mean, it really, I was reading, Eric, about one Fox show. They just literally, Bush is not an option for anything that's happening with the economy now at all. Yeah.
No, George Bush doesn't exist.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the massive unemployment from 2000 that began in 2008 somehow was all candidate Obama's doing. The Republican talking point is all about the economy, and that makes sense because that's what elections are often about. But it's interesting that George Bush doesn't exist. And if you look at the polling, strong majority of Americans still blame the Bush administration for the current economic woes and particularly the job situation. So it's the Fox News rhetoric is just not translating into the mainstream yet.
And, you know, again, it doesn't take an economist to go, a huge part of this deficit is these Bush tax cuts for the rich, which has got to be part of any solution. I mean, it's just it's infuriating to listen to the same argument over and over again, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely deja vu. I mean, it's been the deja vu goes back decades, but specifically just within the last 5 or 7 years, Bush tax cuts, they've been codified into the American landscape. They can't be changed. And, oh, by the way, we don't care what the implications were.
Yeah.
They just have to remain in place.
Yeah, well, and exactly. And again, the one no one can answer for me is these Bush tax cuts have been in place. And they haven't been hiring, but here's a Fox News Business Block promo.
Saturday on BizBlock, small businesses say no new jobs. The big problem, D.C. policies. We expose why Obama's plans ain't working. Then, what cash crisis? How lawmakers are boosting their budgets. On BizBlock, Saturday, starting at 10.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, you see how that happened? It's Obama's policies. It's those damn tax cuts for the rich that Obama put in.
Again, it's complete, memory loss. Bush doesn't exist. This is all about Obama. And even though there aren't, it's not even his policies that are in play. This is just a game. I mean, this is what classic propaganda is. I mean, Media Matters talks about how Fox News is a propaganda outlet. And people say, oh gosh, how can you say that? This is just classic example. This is how the mechanics of propaganda work.
Yep, exactly. Like this, Steve Hayes on Fox News Sunday.
If you look at what the president did, if you look at what the White House did, he insisted on tax hikes that Republican leaders had already ruled out and that could not pass the House of Representatives no matter what. My view is that the White House actually wants to push this to the brink, maybe even beyond August 2nd. I think they believe that they have more flexibility than Tim Geithner is saying publicly because Democrats want an issue.
Aren't they technically the Bush tax increases since they were set to expire by George Bush?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's the one that made him the 10 years that had a sunset. But this idea that it's the Obama White House that really wants this deficit showdown and really wants to send the U.S. economy on the brink. Again, this is just nonsense. It's Alice in Wonderland. It's the exact opposite.
Yep.
I mean, Republicans have raised the debt level 7, 8, 9 times in the last decade. This is the first time that we're ever going to a showdown mentality, and it's all because of the Republicans.
Yeah, that's why I always loved snuggling with you in the bunker, Eric. I'm always like, it's them, right? It's not us, honey. It's them. Okay, hang on. Eric Mfolder remains in the sidecar. We continue with more Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Eric Bollert rejoins us to finish up Right Wing World. Rush Limbaugh on income taxes, my friends.
Income taxes are designed to prevent the creation of wealth or the accumulation of wealth. But your average Warren Buffett does not face a tax on his accumulated wealth. Nobody does. That's why the left is all for raising taxes on the rich. Kennedys, they didn't care, they're coupon clippers.
What?
The richer coupon clipper?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Well, the Kennedys are.
The extreme kind or just the regular kind?
Couponing.
This is what Warren Buffett always makes sense to me. I mean, he said we raised the debt ceiling 7 times during the Bush administration. The Republican-controlled Congress is trying to use the incentive now that we're going to blow your brains out, America, in terms of your debt worthiness over time. He said we had a debt of 120% of the GDP, far higher than this after World War II, and no one went around threatening that we're going to ruin the credit of the United States or something in order to get a better balance of debt to the GDP. I mean, it historically, economically, and every other way, Eric, just makes no sense.
Yeah, and Warren Buffett has also been on the record saying he should pay higher taxes and other people in that sort of stratosphere should pay higher taxes. Look, you know, Warren Buffett used to be held up by conservatives as well as sort of this sterling example of American entrepreneurship and you know, making it big. But now, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, Warren Buffett's the bad guy. Because Warren Buffett doesn't sign off on all of these just sort of brain-dead tax policy talking points. So it's funny how someone like Warren Buffett, one of the wealthiest, most successful businessmen of our generation, is now thrown overboard because he doesn't, you know, he will not, you know, ape the talking points.
He's a traitor to his class.
yeah, class
Amazing.
Traitor, exactly. Dr. Keith Abloh.
Yeah.
On the Fox Business Channel.
Of course unions gravitate toward Barack Obama because his vision is that the people who built the company are evil.
Oh, please.
That they're takers.
Over the top.
And that the company is actually owned by the workers. It's essentially a socialist or communist manifesto.
I can't believe there was someone actually on the air sort of complaining.
That was Alan Combs.
Yeah, that had any objection. Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was startled there for a minute.
Alan Combs actually had a bit of forcefulness to his contestations.
Come on, that's just unreasonable.
You know, I found this Fox Business thing that you were talking about, Eric. It's hilarious. Fox Business removes Bush from the economy. Fox Business host Jerry Willis made sure her viewers could not fault President Bush for the state of the economy, asking her viewers, you know, they do those polls,
who
to blame for America's job crisis. They offered the following options. President Obama, of course, first.
Sure.
Congress, corporate America, or all of the above. According to a June NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, Americans more likely to hold Bush accountable than Obama for the country's current economic crisis. But, of course, on Fox, that's not an option.
It's simply not an option.
Yes.
There are things you cannot discuss. For the last 8 days, you cannot go on Fox News and talk about this sweeping Murdoch scandal.
Yeah. It's just the unpleasantness.
You cannot talk about it. It does not exist.
It's the unpleasantness in England. It's the unnamed business over there that has nothing to do with us.
Yeah. Unless, of course, it was NBC or a CBS involved. And you would literally be around 24-7. So, again, this is we talk about Fox News being a propaganda outlet. This is why. This is not, they lean a little to the right. This is examples you cannot discuss. Bush's role in the economy. You cannot discuss the biggest breaking media story of the last week.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
That's a lot more like communism.
Eric Bolling and his little anti-homophobe guest.
Yes.
California's governor may soon approve a bill that would make it mandatory to teach gay history and contributions gay Americans have made. But does this kind of political correctness have a place in our public schools?
You know, I'm sure the National Association of Albinos and the Association for Polygamists is waiting out there to get in line to have their say and to start making sure that they get acknowledged, too.
Yeah. Mm. Albino polygamists.
Yeah. We're going to teach your kids about albinos. Take that, Aaron.
God, that's so childish.
Wow. Oh, Eric, your thoughts briefly.
Well, it's just, you know, it's interesting on the whole gay rights movement. I mean, this is an issue that has completely left conservatives behind in the last 5 or 8 years. I mean, the shift has been just dramatic. They still have whiplash, it's just funny to watch them fight these fights that the country has already decided and moved on about.
Yeah, well, I think there's one thing we can conclude that we all agree on at the end of Right Wing World, Eric, and that is albinos should not be allowed to play in any of our reindeer games.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
So friggin' red-nosed albino.
Burn all your Johnny and Edgar Winter albums.
Yeah. All right, Eric Bollard, see you next week, honey.
All right, bye.
All right, there he goes. Oh, my God, I have another Republican gay sex thing besides Michelle Bachmann's big gay husband, and I couldn't be happier about it.
What are you saying about Marcus?
Crying, crying.
Playing the toy.
I just, you know what, this one's just a random one, but they make me happy.
Okay.
Alabama Republican Attorney General Troy King caught in gay sex scandal.
Oh, dear.
Alabama?
Oh,
really?
God. Wow. Well, I'll read just what I got so far on the interwebs. Alabama Attorney General Troy King.
There are no S's in that name.
A conservative Republican Christian who has called homosexuality the downfall of society.
Sure.
Well, he is going down for sure. Societally, I mean, if he's part of this, he's obviously, you know, going down with the rest of us.
Yeah.
He has been caught with his pants down, literally, in a gay sex scandal. He was reportedly nabbed having sex with a male assistant by his wife, Paige.
Oh, the lovely, talented Paige.
In the couple's own bed.
Oh, my God.
Now, this may not compare to the guy.
I'm just trying to find out how evil it is. It's really, really evil.
Hi, I'm Mrs. Troy. Paige, please and thank you. Troy, what are you doing? Okay, may not compare to the guy that was caught with the hookers and the kids' playroom and the wife hit him in the head with the, you know, the toy guitar. But still, stay tuned for the details of this. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Radio contact is sufficient. No need to extend your middle finger.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, foisting albino rock on you and your children. Take that. 34 minutes after the hour.
Not polygamists.
No. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Can I have some music for my next Republican hypocritical big gay sex scandal? So, Alabama Republican Attorney General Troy King.
Please and thank you.
Hi, please and thank you. I'm Paige, his wife.
Oh, boy.
Troy, isn't that in Greece?
Troy is not the butchest name on earth. Can I just
throw
that out there?
Here's the detail. What? Alabama Attorney General Troy King, conservative Republican, Christian, of course.
Of course, sure.
Who has called homosexuality the downfall of society, caught in his bed by his wife, Paige.
His marital
with
bed.
A male assistant, who is apparently assisting him, so that part is not untrue.
Sure.
He's maybe assisting him in...
I'm just monitoring the downfall of civilization.
Looking for some sort of lost object.
Down, down, down.
Assisting him
there goes the manta ray. What?
Redecorating the bedroom, maybe?
Yeah.
That's what
it is. To make it more pleasurable for Paige, maybe.
Sure.
Okay. King, considered a potential frontrunner for Alabama governor in 2010.
Not says not. Oh,
dear. Has been vocal in his condemnation of... sexuality and abortion. He worked to outlaw sex toys. So there. Huh?
Who needs a sex toy when you have an assistant?
Yes. Exactly.
That's his new designation.
Yeah. why doesn't he outlaw assistants, too?
He's giving you an assist.
Why do I think that Paige really, really needs a sex toy? Why do I think that? Okay, as a law student at the University of Alabama, he wrote several editorials for the student newspaper. He called homosexuality a downfall of society, said AIDS could be cleansed from America if this nation's current purveyors of perversion would refrain from committing sodomy.
Wow.
King also slammed the idea that gays and lesbians could provide loving, normal families for children. He said in this day of rampant decadence, many homosexuals would mislead society into believing that three men, an armadillo, and a houseplant can create a functional family. But enough about his sex life with his male assistant. Hey!
Were there any armadillos and houseplants involved?
I don't know what was found in the marital bed with the male assistant.
The mind reels.
Maybe that was the assistant's job, is to fetch the armadillo before the peccadillo.
I mean, if you bring an armadillo into that, is it considered sodomy? I mean...
Depends on... I just... I just thought this one...
I wouldn't bring a porcupine in.
No, that would be a little sharp.
Ouch, that leaves a mark. Yeah. I've tried that once.
Yeah.
Alabama Attorney General Troy King tops the list of the top 10 anti-gay activists caught being gay.
Okay. He's a top. Good for him.
Despite plagued with rumors about his sexuality for the last 2 years, despite a long history of anti-gay positions. Interesting. It seems like the people that take the most anti-gay positions in public take the most gay positions in private. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking baby monkey riding backwards on a pig gay positions in private.
Riding backwards on an armadillo?
Yes. Troy King alleged to have had an affair with Troy University's 2006 homecoming king.
Troy University? Wait, he has a university named after him?
I don't know. But for him, he bagged the homecoming king. Why not?
Wow. All right.
Okay. All right, then. Okay.
When are people going to stop listening to these anti-gay crusaders? Just before... How long is it going to take to realize
like
it?
Like Michelle and Marcus Bachman.
Yeah. Oh,
signing that pledge.
I'm sorry. By the way, I did not mean to, you know, divert my pleasure to another. I'm sorry. Take your organ out, back out for Marcus.
Oh.
Because Marcus, oh, heavens. An undercover patient has confirmed that future first man and lady and Michelle Bachman's pantsuit consultant, Dr. Marcus Bachman, is indeed a minister.
Please and thank you.
This is, you know what, this is a butt injection. You're going to need to, yeah, this is a shot you need in your butt. You need to turn around because Dr. Bachman is preparing the needle. Dr. Marcus Bachman is indeed administering unhelpful, dangerous, enough with the gay already therapy,
right.
His crackpot Medicaid-funded clinic.
That's the sad and scary part, is that what he's doing is dangerous to people and has caused many people to commit suicide.
Yeah, that's the not-so-funny part of it.
And while the Republicans are trying to destroy Medicare and Medicaid,
right,
he's accepting it for
right. State and federally funded clinic endorses and practices a reparative therapy aimed at changing a gay person's sexual orientation, despite the fact such therapy, of course, widely discredited by the scientific and medical community, and as Chris said, can be dangerous, fatal,
whatever.
I don't know, fill in your list. And by the way, Marcus Bachman is an anti-gay. Isn't that like Rush Limbaugh being a fitness guru? Doesn't it have to have worked just a tiny bit on you before you could? Wouldn't he have to be just a tiny bit less gay, Jim? Do you know what I'm saying?
I hate you, and I hate your ass face.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Just a skosh is all I'm saying. Before you
and
have
I'll tell you why I can't
sort of
put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
So does therapy involve injections of any kind?
I think so, as I was saying. Yeah. You know, it's.
He's a doctor.
Stuck me, I'm a doctor! Drop your pants!
He's calling Dr. Bombay! Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie
Miller. I think you're confusing Dr. Bombay and Uncle Arthur.
I know. Anything that involves Paul Lynn just makes me happy.
Paul Lynn was Uncle Arthur.
He actually looks just like Rip Taylor, doesn't he?
He does.
Marcus
he Bachman.
Look like Rip Taylor.
If he grew a handlebar mustache,
and had lots of glitter.
My wife is president. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, everybody.
Yes, hello.
Well, Stephanie, they did it again. It's driving me crazy. Here we're talking about the budget cuts and the interview. The lovely chimp in the suit, Mitch McConnell, and they interviewed.
He's a turtle, sir. Report.
And what do they talk about? Well, the American people are suffering from the 9.2 unemployment rate. They need jobs. They need to get this budget done. Stephanie, 20 times they filibustered jobs programs. So these people have the knowledge and the power at any time to bring forward jobs to help the American people. They don't want you to have jobs. And their cronies that are these Republican governors, they've told them, go ahead and start laying off teachers, cops, everybody else. We'll make it even worse. These are not good people. They don't care about the American public. They don't care about jobs. It drives me nuts how they keep coming on and bringing it into the reference.
Jim,
like they're good people trying to do something good.
Yeah, look, this is worth playing again. Michelle Bachman, did she misspeak, Jim? Or,
no.
One would wonder.
As the unemployment rate goes up, your chances of winning office also go up?
Well, that could be. I hope so. My candidacy is one that I'm presenting to be a job creator and to turn the economy around.
Gosh, boy. Yeah, hope so. Boy, howdy. Just like I hope my husband's straight.
Wow. I just hope people will die. So there will be fewer of them on the door.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kinda, I think there's some malfeasance going on there. Down near Brainerd, near her campaign headquarters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Conda in Alabama. Hello, Conda. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Stephanie. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I missed you. But
I missed you.
I want to say the gentleman that covered for you where you guys were at was absolutely excellent.
Yeah, gentleman. He's no gentleman. He's my house park. All right, go ahead.
I enjoyed it. Well, anyway, I wanted to comment on the young lady that called in earlier about her great aunt or grandmother something that was disappointed and da-da-da-da. Well, what I advise her to do is go on to WhiteHouse.gov and look at the facts. Look at what President Obama is stating about Social Security. He is not planning on cutting the benefits. He's planning on taking efforts to strengthen it. They will not have any slashes in their benefits whatsoever. And I want to also say that before we start responding to these half-hearted, somebody said stories that come out of Huffington Post and...
Right. Well, I mean, Conda, we were saying that the president is speaking live in like 20 minutes. And I got to tell you, I've been on vacation.
No, I understand that completely. But what I'm saying is, when this came out, this story that somebody close to the sources said, kind of like, well, he said, she said, they said,
right.
And, oh, but I think, But anyway, it was the way it was responded to by another liberal talk show host. Well, several of them.
Right.
Liberal talk show hosts. It was like blowing it way overboard before they even had the facts in front of them.
Yeah.
They had no idea as to what.
I mean, obviously,
dating.
Right? Nothing's been done yet. So let's we're going to go live to it in about 15 minutes, honey. So let's stay tuned here.
But read the columns by.
Krugman writes good columns, but again, one of them was
Joseph
several.
Stieglitz.
Yeah, I mean, one was several days ago too. I mean, we will go live to it in just a few minutes. Ron in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Ron.
How you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. First of all, I want to say, honey, I went on a website and you are a stone cold fox.
Oh,
you understand me?
Ron.
I'm 60 years old.
No, I don't understand. Honey, explain it to me again.
You are a stone cold fox.
Yes.
Now.
All right. That's it. Okay.
I know. Our president, I believe, should.
However.
You know, I mean, I think if we go into the deficit and it falls apart, the country's going to rebound. You listen to all of our great Democrats talk, it's going to rebound. But the second thing is, most of my life I've been in the restaurant business, and my best servers and employees were gay people.
Yeah.
Why you got people crazy out here about the gays, I don't understand. They're not going to change the world. They're not going to take it over. They're just human beings.
Hmm. Yes.
They have a different way of living. Who cares?
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
They were the best I ever had. And
okay.
I had my straight customers asking for the gay servers.
I don't want a straight person bringing me my food. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
They
All right.
Because they were better.
All right.
Better service.
Thank you, Ron. Okay.
You can say an entire class of people is better at serving people than
others.
Listen,
I wasn't. I was a crappy waitress.
Yeah. And you're about as homo as they come.
Oh, shut up, you bastard. Robert. I wasn't then.
Well, okay. Really?
Yeah, back then. Oh. I was passing. Maybe that is. Maybe straight people are bad.
That could be. You should try waitressing
now.
When
I was wearing the kimono and serving drinks at Fung Lum.
It wasn't the kimono.
It was. Restaurant. They didn't understand. It was a big Asian place.
They didn't understand Asian culture.
No. Robert in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Steph.
Hi.
I was a waiter for 15 years, and I was considered the best straight waiter ever. So,
awesome. Good job.
Do you have a plaque?
We have to tussle with Ron a little. Anyway, welcome back from vacation. And
thanks.
I've been listening since you came on at 6 a.m., and it sounds like you need morning sausage every morning now, but it sounds like you don't need it as much as Troy King of Alabama does.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Okay. Troy King. It's the new.
Call me the King of Troy.
Okay, and I'm guessing someone does.
Yes.
At certain moments. All right.
Certainly not the lovely and talented Mrs. Troy.
No. Hey, Paige, please. Thank you. 45 minutes to the hour. Woo! What's going on in there, Troy? There's a ruckus going on in the master bedroom.
Are you roughhousing again?
Is that the downfall of civilization again?
Are you roughhousing with your homecoming king friend again?
We're just playing leapfrog.
And the house, Troy. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You okay?
Put on your red shoes.
Where am I?
And dance the blues.
Are you still shaking the rust off?
What? We're shaking the vacation rust off. All right, 51 minutes after the hour, we will go live to the president speaking about the latest hostage
crisis. He's been known to be late, so I don't know that I'd actually count on him showing up at exactly
he better.
The same time.
I haven't prepared anything else.
Oh,
I kid, of course.
Get
a game of hoops in before he.
Yeah. Well, then we'll have to coast on Edie being here.
Oh, Edie McClurg. Mondays with McClurg coming up in just mere moments. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. John in Ohio on the debt ceiling crisis. Hello, John.
Hello, Stephanie. I'm just curious as to how they're including the Social Security in any discussion when it comes to balancing the budget or eliminating the debt. Social Security is privately funded. Are they planning on giving away our Social Security money in the form of tax cuts to billionaires?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I just, you know.
He did do it.
How stupid do we have to be? How stupid do we have to be? And how long is it going to take for Barack to grow a set?
To what, honey? You're screaming.
Grow a set.
Oh, grow
testicles.
Yeah, well,
oh my God.
Okay, let's see what he's going to say in a couple of minutes
here. When he put Social Security on the table, that really did
that's
upset a lot
of
people.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I just... but that's, again, it's like, no! The fact when anyone even calls it entitlement...
Yeah.
Like, it's something that it's my money. I paid into it my whole life.
It's an insurance policy, basically, that we pay into.
Let me read one little fragment of the Krugman piece. Let's be frank. It's getting harder and harder to trust Mr. Obama's motives in the budget fight, given the way his economic rhetoric has veered to the right. In fact, if all you did was listen to his speeches, you might conclude that he basically shares the GOP's diagnosis of what ails our economy and what should be done to fix it. And maybe that's not a false impression. Maybe it's the simple truth.
You know, this is the other headline. Obviously, the jobs number complicates the debt deal for both Obama and the Republican Party.
Yeah, that was awful.
The Labor Department said it was Friday morning.
Yeah.
The economy added, and again, here we go. You know, losing 700,000 jobs a month under Bush. We gained 18,000 jobs last month, but obviously not where we want to be. You know, and again, as Jim and Krugman have said over and over again, you know, I wish we could have gotten a bigger stimulus. I don't think politically we could have. I wish we could have. I mean, I think that it's... I mean, Jim, you keep saying it over and over again, that it's like, this is... We've learned this historically. This is not when you cut, when the economy is in this place.
The Republicans haven't learned that.
No, of course not. They immediately hardened conservatives and liberals' beliefs about why the recovery continues to sputter and what it needs to kick into gear. The hardening and the political pressure that will ratchet up along with it is the unwelcome twist in the endgame negotiations over raising the federal debt ceiling. A U.S. default or a drastic immediate cut in spending to avert one next month would give this recovery a very unhappy ending. Most analysts in America say America risks falling back into recession. Avoiding that scenario just got more difficult. Let's just hope this isn't the sixth sense all over again and we're not dead already. And that's...
Look for red doorknobs.
Yeah. Exactly. And Bruce Willis. He's always involved. Somehow. This is another piece on this. It just, immersed in an intense struggle to cut the national debt, President Obama faces a dilemma that will stay with him and even succeeds in striking a grand deal, convincing Americans the entire effort will do anything to create desperately needed jobs. If he ties deficit reduction to jobs, the basis on that basis, trying to balance the nation's books will promote economic stability and give businesses more confidence to hire. Republicans, too, though, face the challenge of explaining and defending how cutting debt will create jobs in the short term. I mean, that's what I'm still not
I'm just
understanding.
Not making the same mistake that that Roosevelt did
right.
in 1937 by listening to the deficit hawks and then sank us back into...
Right.
If not quite depression, then a severe recession.
Well, I mean, what we know will worsen the economic picture, it would be a huge economic breakdown, which is what a default would cause.
Yes.
I mean, so it's... the president, by the way, is prodding Congress to pass three pending trade deals, create construction jobs by repairing the nation's infrastructure. There's jobs. Extend a payroll tax cut that could keep money in people's pockets and make it easier for entrepreneurs to get patents. Someone at the Alliance for the American Manufacturing said Washington seems tone deaf. The metric for President Obama and congressional leaders must be how the number of, now must be the number of jobs we create rather than the amount of deficit reduction we see. So, I mean, yeah, Nancy Pelosi on Friday talking about this.
We're not going to reduce the deficit or subsidize tax cuts for the rich on the backs of America's seniors and working families.
Remember, it took World War II to get us out of that.
Yeah.
Recession.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have another huge war? Really?
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi.
The dirty, rotten devil is in the dirty, rotten details. So we haven't seen what that is.
just when you thought it couldn't get uglier in here. Representative Xavier Becerra, he's a Democrat of California.
Social Security, which has done nothing to contribute one penny to these deficits and to the national debt, should not be used to pay for reckless spending that led to these massive deficits. Medicare, Medicaid, same thing.
Well, you know, and here we are, Jim. It's a game of giant game of chicken. The American people largely are on our side, don't mm-hmm. want cuts to Medicare or Social Security. It's just unconscionable that they're just saying that absolutely revenue can't be on the table. There is no mathematician in the world that would tell you that makes sense. Or that's workable. Representative Manuel Cleaver, Democrat of Missouri.
We are not going to bend on Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security.
And as you know, Jim, the boner pulled out this weekend.
Like a big orange hole.
Yeah, it was a big orange hole.
As the president said yesterday, we are this far apart.
We're far apart.
It's not like there's some imminent deal about to happen. There are serious disagreements about how to deal with this very serious problem.
For example, I want to destroy the economy completely. And for some reason, Obama is not going along with that. I mean, when is he going to be reasonable? And when is he going to just break down and give it to our demands? It's not fair!
Wow.
Somehow, only Jim can make me happy about this today. Just mercilessly mocking the boner. What a boner. All right, we haven't played that in a while. What a boner he is, seriously.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner.
I forgot we had that, actually.
Oh, dear. All right, so we have lots. Listen, I'm going to go ape dump like this woman. I love this. Officer attacked with feminine hygiene product. I may have to do that. I may have to break out the Tampax nunchucks. A Mitchell, South Dakota woman accused of striking a police officer in the face with a used feminine hygiene product.
Yikes.
She's accused of throwing a soiled feminine product in the face of a police officer who responded to a mental illness call.
Well.
Oh, really? That's not normal? Okay. My bad. Okay. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Mondays with McClurg, the President Live, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. We love you, Tucson. Thank you. Good night, Tucson. Sexy Liberal Show Saturday night, off the hook. Whoo, was it hot in there? We did take off all our clothes. Thank you so much. Please and thank you, everybody in Tucson that put out. We appreciate it. All right. Sexy Liberal News. Lots of stuff coming up. Dear God, we're in Boston. Monday. We must be in Brussels. Where am I? We're in Boston this Saturday. There are only a few scattered single tickets left, so get it quick. We will be at the Wilbur Theater Saturday for the Sexy Liberal Show. And I don't know. We've added all sorts of second shows and things like that that I don't even know I said yes to.
Searching for something better to do than sip lattes at the original Starbucks? Well, come sip some sexy. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Seattle. And you will be entertained.
So, the flannel shirt deal, is that a nod to the crispy Seattle weather?
On September 30th, at the Moore Theater, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the woman who is sharper than the Space Needle, Stephanie Miller, will spread their progressive sound across the Puget Sound. Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. It's more affordable than a low-fat, half-calf, double espresso mocha ice frappuccino. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Get ready, Seattle, to be sleepless, sweaty, and sexy.
All right, then. Yes, thank you very much. Los Angeles second show just sold out a couple of days ago. Second show in Seattle and San Francisco on the way. So thank you, thank you. Please and thank you. All right. In the meantime, kids, it's Monday.
Sounds like somebody's Yay. Got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Good morning to you.
There is something on my Facebook page, which is it just delights me. It is you on Match Game, which I love. Who were you on Match Game with?
I was on Match Game with Charles Nelson Reilly.
and Brett Summers and McLean Stevenson.
Could I have some game show music? Jim, what makes us happier than anything with Charles Nelson Reilly or Rip Taylor, who looks just like Mark Spockman? Or Paul Lynde? Oh.
Well, Charles was a big champion of mine, and he thought that it was a good idea for me to imitate Dear Abby when she was across the hall doing another show.
I've done that before.
Yeah. So
I've certainly done that.
At dinner time.
I started doing that impression when I was still back in Lockport, New York, up the road from Schenectady.
Well, the lunch break came, and he says, I'm going to get Abby to come over here. You got to do her for her.
Listen, no. I don't try Ellen entertaining. No. That does not sound anything like me.
Idea. Please, no. And so he brought her in, and I'm sitting like
I have a speech impediment?
A foot from her knees, and he says, okay, go ahead and do her for her. Do her for
do it.
Her.
Do it.
I hate that.
You're like,
so
I don't know.
Said, oh, yes, dear, you have to think about the way that things are going these days, you know. And a lot of people are thinking that things And I would just...
Oh, boy. Somehow, Jim, dear. I get the impression Tom Brokaw wouldn't find that quite as entertaining. Where just, Jim, do it!
Well, she said, oh, you got it right. You got the S's and everything.
Wow. Yeah.
Tom Brokaw, why, look, my friend Jim Moore, Jim, do it!
This is Tom Brokaw, formerly of MSC Island News. Live from Hummer, where the Winter Olympics.
Trust me, I know from experience. Mariana Huffington says, I do not understand something. Why is that girl not telling herself anything like me? I'm really that insulted in my own entire world now.
Hmm. She's been here an awfully long time. Don't you think she could lose a little bit of the accent?
Edie Louise McClurg, are you seriously trying to get me fired from everything ever? She owns the entire world now.
Oh, excuse me.
All right. Oh, cut it out with that accent. All right. All right, speaking of game
I've
show.
I've been faking it the whole time.
Oh, darling, I can't believe you fall for it. I know. This is really entertaining. All right, Dan in Binghamton, by the way, just so I can one-up your game show fun fact, are you ready for this?
Okie dokie.
Mm-hmm. Steph in Sports Illustrated. Jim, did you know that?
What? Really?
You know, sometimes your dreams don't look exactly like you thought they would. Sometimes, in fact, they're entirely different. In fact, like, sometimes they die and are crushed entirely. But sometimes they just look like, for instance, did I ever think I'd be on the cover like I've been in the swimsuit addiction? No.
Addiction?
No.
I could be in the addiction edition. But no, I was not in the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated. However, dear Steph, were you aware that you appeared in last week's issue of Sports Illustrated?
What?
No, not swimsuit edition. And he says, no, not for your devastating hook shot that you possessed in Catholic school. First team All-Catholic, Lockport, New York, DeSales High School in 1979.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. It was in an article about the first female Little League player you were hosting, I've Got a Secret, in which the woman appeared.
Oh.
That was her secret, is she was the first female Little League player. And I hosted the game show, I've Got a Secret.
Oh, there are so many firsts that we have lived
with
through.
Jim J. Bullock. There's always the one really funny, flamboyant gay guy on a game show. It is required in a game show that you have either Paul Lynde, Charles Nelson Reilly, Rip Taylor, or Jim J. Bullock.
Or Marcus Bachman.
See? Oh, Marcus Bachman could get a job at a game show. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, you could try to de-gay Rip Taylor.
That was one of my favorite, Edie? That was one of my favorite lines ever when some woman said, you know, to Paul Lynde, oh, I've always wanted to marry you. And he goes, oh, please, lady, no. All right, let's go to Tina in Virginia on Michelle Bachman, speaking of people with big gay husbands. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
Hello.
I am still begging for a show in Virginia Beach.
Oh.
But I just wanted to say that, like the marriage pledge that her and her husband signed, when I was doing my family's genealogy chart for an upcoming family reunion, I wish I had known that my mother's side of the family had such an easy time, her ancestors during the time of slavery, with family connections than they do today.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about the slavery reference in the marriage vow?
Yes.
Yes. Now, let me give you the fun facts on that. Did you hear about this? This is something. Michelle Bachman signed the marriage vow. Well, first of all, you know hers is strong as all get out.
Mm-hmm.
Promoted by conservative Christian values group, the family leader was met with outrage. The main purpose of the pledge is to secure opposition to gay marriage. But the document was packed with little details that managed to offend an impressive range of people, considering the relatively short length of the document. The document encouraged a baby boom and called homosexuality a choice. The most head-scratching piece was an insinuation that African-American babies may have somehow been better off under slavery.
Ah.
Wait for it. This is what it says. Slavery had a disastrous impact on African-American families, yet sadly, a child born into slavery in 1860 was more likely to be raised by his mother and father in a two-parent household than was an African-American baby born after the election of the USA's first African-American president.
Oh, my God.
Jim, historically, which is odd for Michelle Bachmann, she has some things incorrect with that. See, first of all, slaves were not allowed to actually get married because they were
true
slaves.
They were
you see,
chattel.
And the child of any slaves actually belonged to the master. They were just more. They wanted to encourage them to breed so that they could have more
details.
Slaves, you see. So,
and they were treated like farm animals. So, yeah.
Except for Mandingo.
Yes. Yes. So they were not raised, married, two-parent households. You see, because they were the property of the slave owner. Slaves or property cannot be a party to a contract, including a marriage contract. Children born into slavery were the property of their master.
Like I'm saying, they're better off. Oh, I sure hope the economy collapses. It'd be good for me. Mm-hmm. My presidential aspirations.
What are Marcus Bachmann's aspirations, do you think? Just out of curiosity. But I wonder what they are. I'm just asking.
I hate you and I hate just your ass face.
Exactly. That is one of his aspirations, is for us to stop.
I just hate
talking.
You and I hate your ass face.
Early Saturday, Bachmann's spokesman said that she'd only endorse the 14-point candidate vow, which did not include the slavery passage. Not everyone bought this backpedal. No, they did not. Where's my? I can't. I'm back from vacation.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Oh, all right. The president speaking live on the desk.
And it is possible for us to construct a package that would be balanced, would share sacrifice.
No.
Would involve both parties taking on their sacred cows.
No.
Would involve some meaningful changes to Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid that would preserve the integrity of the programs and keep our sacred trust with our seniors, but make sure those programs were there for not just this generation, but for the next generation.
No.
That it is possible for us to bring in revenues in a way that does not impede our current recovery, but is fair and balanced. Agreed to a series of spending cuts that will make the government leaner, meaner, more effective, more efficient, and give taxpayers a greater bang for their buck. That includes defense spending. That includes health spending. It includes some programs that I like very much and we'd be nice to have, but that we can't afford right now. And if you look at this overall package, we could achieve a situation in which our deficits were at a manageable level and our debt levels were stabilized. And the economy as a whole, I think, would benefit from that. Moreover, I think it would give the American people enormous confidence that this town can actually do something once in a while. That we can defy the expectations that we're always thinking in terms of short-term politics in the next election, and every once in a while, we break out of that and we do what's right for the country. So I continue to push congressional leaders for the largest possible deal. There's going to be resistance. There is, frankly, resistance on my side to do anything on entitlements. There is strong resistance on the Republican side to do anything on revenues. But if each side takes a maximalist position, if each side wants 100% of what its ideological predispositions are,
except
then we
they're
can't
wrong
get anything
and we're right.
Done. And I think the American people want to see something done. They feel a sense of urgency, both about the breakdown in our political process and also about the situation in our economy.
American people want to preserve Medicare and Medicaid. And
what I've said to the leaders is bring back to me some ideas that you think can get the necessary number of votes in the House and in the Senate. I'm happy to consider all options, all alternatives that they're looking at. The things that I will not consider are a 30-day or a 60-day or a 90-day or 180-day temporary stopgap resolution to this problem. This is the United States of America, and you know, we don't manage our affairs in three-month increments. You know, we don't risk U.S. default on our obligations because we can't put politics aside. So I've been very clear to them. We're going to resolve this, and we're going to resolve this for a reasonable period of time, and we're going to resolve it in a serious way. And my hope is that as a consequence of negotiations that take place today, tomorrow, the next day, and through next weekend if necessary, that we're going to come up with a plan that solves our short-term debt and deficit problems, avoids default, stabilizes the economy, and proves to the American people that we can actually get things done in this country and in this town. All right, with that, I'm going to take some questions.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we will rejoin this live, and our thoughts and yours on all this as we continue Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Everything everyone just said is either obvious or wrong.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour. One 800 step 12 the phone number. David Bender joins us quickly before we go back to the president's press conference to get his reaction. Hello, political strategist extraordinaire, David Bender.
Did you say bend over, I'll drive?
Yes.
I hate when people say that about me.
Uh-huh.
Listen,
Bender, I just met her. All right, go ahead.
Hey. The president, while you were in break, the president said it's time we have to eat our peas and rip off the Band-Aid. This is the he's talking about tough medicine here for the country, and he's been incredibly tough in presenting this right now, but he has made a choice. He has said we're going to put everything on the table. So the real question here, is this a chess game, Stephanie? Is this the president saying, look, I'm throwing the gauntlet back. You guys mm-hmm. want $2.5 trillion, we'll go $4 trillion. I'll raise you, knowing that they will fold, and knowing that at the end of the day, Medicare, Social Security will be protected because it will be the Republicans who don't step up. This is now an absolute stare-down contest between the White House and Congress. The president is either playing that as tough as it's possible to play, or he is prepared to put all of these things genuinely on the table. And
well, David, this is what people always say, particularly, you know, senior, you know, political strategists like you, is that elections, whether we like it or not, those of us on the left, they're won in the middle with independents. And if the president is seen to say screw you, which our, you know, we on the liberal base like fantasize about, would like to see, but you're right, he appears reasonable to most reasonable people, doesn't he?
So appear reasonable. He's appearing tough. It's a question of what the consequences are.
Right.
And yeah.
So if you've got Nancy Pelosi, who quite rightly says that I cannot sell any cuts in Medicare, again, while you were in break, the specifics were that he said Medicare, Social Security, entitlement programs that my own base is unhappy with talking about, we're going to preserve them, we're going to protect them, we're going to strengthen them. But you know, and I know, and we've heard this before, those are also euphemisms for changing them in some way, possibly raising the age limit. Those are things that are going to be very, very controversial, and it's going to make it a very difficult sell for Democrats. So we'll see. But the one thing I want to tell people that's very important, remember this about the lame duck session. When people write off Barack Obama, when they say he's caved, he's capitulated, they're not paying attention to the record. They did that about health care. It passed. They did that about don't ask, don't tell. He repealed it. watch not just what he's saying right now, but watch the results.
Right. Well, I mean, David, and this is what I've said, is, you know, we live in a political reality. You know, Jim Ward has said, Paul Krugman has said, I have said, the stimulus should have been bigger. I think a strategist and vote counter like you would say we got the biggest stimulus we could have. I mean, you know.
It should have been bigger.
Yeah.
But
politically speaking, counting votes, right?
Well, you know, it depends on how you move votes. And if it is possible to create the Republicans took this and said the government is spending us into the ground. You keep pointing out quite rightly, people care more about jobs than the debt. They don't care about the debt. We've had much higher debts in the past.
That's what Paul quoted Warren Buffett earlier as talking about.
So the real issue is, can the president go out to the American people? And I think the campaign has now started full bore. We are seeing the president laying out what the future is going to look like. And can the president make the case that the way to get jobs is actually to stimulate the economy, infrastructure, do these things? He's still talking about it. I would have wished he had talked about it more back at that beginning. And he still says things, and this is where I part company with the president. When he uses a phrase as he did today, my friends, the Republicans, say this is something that they're prepared to step up and work on. He needs to understand these are not the Republicans he knew in Illinois in the state Senate. These are Republicans who will never step up.
Yep. I have friends like that. A couple of them are in the wood chipper now. All right. David Benda, love you.
Love you.
All right. Back with the President's Press Conference Live as we continue 29 minutes after the hour of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm prone to night terrors, so if I wake up kicking and screaming, don't panic. Just pin me down and stroke my hair and I'll be fine.
That is so true. I did the sleep clinic at Canyon Ranch last week. Because I asked the doctor asked me, Jim, what makes me sleep? And I said, just my friend Rob pitting my head like his dog lady, going, oh, shh, shh, beauty pa, beauty pa. And that's what works. Beauty pa, you're a beauty pa. Here's the president live.
Discussed would be significant and would target folks who can most afford it. And if we don't do any revenue, because you may hear the argument that, why not just go ahead and do all the cuts and we can debate the revenue issues in the election, right? You'll hear that from some Republicans. The problem is that if you don't do the revenues, then to get the same amount of savings, you've got to have more cuts, which means that it's seniors or it's poor kids or it's medical researchers or it's our infrastructure that suffers. And I do not want, and I will not accept, a deal in which I am asked to do nothing. In fact, I'm able to keep hundreds of thousands of dollars in additional income that I don't need, while a parent out there who's struggling to figure out how to send their kid to college suddenly finds that they've got a couple thousand dollars less in grants or student loans. That's what the revenue debate's about. It's not because I want to raise revenues for the sake of raising revenues, or I've got some grand ambition to create a bigger government. It's because if we're going to actually solve the problem, there are a finite number of ways to do it. And if you don't have revenues, it means you are putting more of a burden on the people who can least afford it. And that's not fair. I think the American people agree with me on that.
Yes, indeed.
Sam Stein.
Reagan raised taxes 11 times.
for those lost guns coming from the public sector. It's now a really good time to cut billions of dollars in spending. How will this go for your jobs? And then to piggyback on the Social Security question, what do you say to members of your own party who say it doesn't contribute to the deficit? Let's consider it to not income.
Our biggest priority as an administration is getting the economy back on track and putting people back to work. Now, you know, without relitigating the past, I am absolutely convinced, and the vast majority of economists are convinced, that the steps we took in the Recovery Act saved millions of people their jobs, or created a whole bunch of jobs. And part of the evidence of that is, as you see what happens with the Recovery Act phasing out. You know, when I came into office and budgets were hemorrhaging at the state level, part of the Recovery Act was giving states help so they wouldn't have to lay off teachers, police officers, firefighters. As we've seen that federal support for states diminish, you've seen the biggest job losses in the public sector. Teachers, police officers, firefighters losing their jobs. So my strong preference would be for us to figure out ways that we can continue to provide help across the board. But I'm operating within some political constraints here, because whatever I do has to go through the House of Representatives. What that means then is that among the options that are available to us is, for example, the payroll tax cut, which might not be exactly the kind of program that I would design in order to boost employment, but does make a difference because it puts money in the pockets of people who are then spending it at businesses, large and small. That gives them more customers, increases demand, and it gives businesses a greater incentive to hire. And that would be, for example, a component of this overall package. Unemployment benefits, again, puts money in the pockets of folks who are out there, you know, knocking on doors trying to find a job every day. Giving them those resources, that puts more money into the economy, and that potentially improves the climate for businesses to want to hire. You know, as part of a component of a deal, I think it's very important for us to look at what are the steps we can take short term in order to put folks back to work. I am not somebody who believes that just because we solve the deficit and debt problems short term, medium term, or long term, that that automatically solves the unemployment problem. I think we're still going to have to do a bunch of stuff, including, for example, trade deals that are before Congress right now that could add tens of thousands of jobs. Republicans gave me this list at the beginning of this year as a priority, something that they thought they could do. Now I'm ready to do it, and so far we haven't gotten the kind of movement that I would have expected. We've got the potential to create an infrastructure bank that could put construction workers to work right now, rebuilding our roads and our bridges.
All right. Edie McClurg, what is your take on all this? I've only been back from vacation in half a day, and I have a headache in my eye.
Yes, I understand. You've been out there on the hustings.
Yes.
Trying to carry a message to America.
And the fact that this breed of Republicans is not Reagan, they're not even Bush. This is the only time in our history we are really seriously at the point of maybe not raising the debt ceiling and causing a worldwide financial catastrophe over these hostage demands.
And they are hostage demands. They are, I fear that there are all kinds of movements abroad in the land as under the guise of we're going to raise money, we're going to get more jobs through very dangerous situations, as in the fracking. Putting forth the things that are going to ruin the earth,
of a leaf.
Yes,
you're the greenest girl I know.
And I do not have range anxiety. Everywhere I need to go, I can get it done. If I have 100 miles a day, That's all I need.
Yeah. And I don't know. You know what? I don't know how he has the patience to deal with Republicans. It's almost like your character in the, you know, the in the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's just dealing with someone hysterical. Yeah. It was just a calm, steady.
You're bleeped.
Yeah.
You are. Susan.
Yeah.
Susan in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Stephanie and Edie.
Hello.
Hey, listen, talking about Medicare and Social Security, there actually is a whole group of people who have never paid into Medicare and Social Security who are collecting that, and that is the stay-at-home moms whose husbands supported them. And so, and these are all these women over 65 who stayed at home with the kids and maybe never worked or only worked part-time. So I'll propose that we get rid of all these stay-at-home mom Medicare moochers off the system, and that way we can, it'll free up all kinds of money.
Yeah. All right, honey. By the way, can I just to make me feel better, can I have some Republicans eating their own? Poor Tim Pawlenty, Jim. He's just, he ain't catching fire.
I like Congresswoman Bachman. I've campaigned for her.
Sure.
I respect her.
Sure,
but her record
do.
Of accomplishment in Congress is non-existent.
Oops.
It's non-existent. And so we're not looking for folks who, you know, just have a speech capabilities. We're looking for people who can lead a large enterprise in a public setting and drive it to conclusion. I've done that. She hasn't.
Mm-hmm. As governor, I did the best job ever on infrastructure in, never mind. No, it didn't.
Talk about driving to a conclusion.
Jim Louise. Lord. Okay. Stephanie and Madison on the debt ceiling. Hi, Steph.
Hey, you guys.
Hello.
Happy back from vacation.
Yay. Yay, puppet arms, Muppet arms.
Woo! What a day. But, you know, I called the White House last week, and I wish more people would call if they want to voice their opinions and tell the president what they feel about things like cutting Social Security. You know, we're getting kicked in the teeth here in Wisconsin by our governor, and so I told him that, and please don't kick us in the teeth. You know, I don't want the president to do it, and I really don't think so. I think he might be playing chess again and just making these Republicans look bad.
Well, I mean, David Bender said that. I mean, let's see how this plays out.
I don't know.
But I mean, it really is. I got to tell you, frustrating. Even last week, I was just trying not to pay attention on vacation. I was like, I can't stand this. It's just, it's excruciating.
I had to really hold my breath. I mean, if Hal Sparks has taught me anything, it's just to kind of remain relaxed and wait and see what happens. But in the meantime, call your Congress critters, your senators, call the White House and voice your opinion.
Yeah. I had to ignore the blubbering boner last week.
The stimulus spending binge, excessive government regulations, and our overwhelming debt continue to hold back job creators around our country. Tax hikes on families and job creators will only make things worse.
Who are the job creators? Show me the jobs they've created.
The people that have had these same tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't you asking them where are the jobs?
The jobs?
Record profits. Seriously, record profits across the country. I mean, it just...
they got a little card in their wallet that says, I'm a job creator. That's all you know.
Yeah,
you question them. The job creators, this is not fair.
Because I need a bigger boat, I need a bigger plane, I need a bigger house.
I need someone to clean my house or my boat.
It's worth playing one more time. Michelle,
I'm a job creator.
Tavern jobs, but still, they're jobs. Michelle Bachman again.
As the unemployment rate goes up, your chances of winning office also go up?
Well, that could be. I hope so. My candidacy is one that I'm presenting to be a job.
Whoops, I hope so.
I hope we do.
Golly
lose lots
gee,
of jobs.
Sure do hope that employment rate keeps going up. That'd be good for me. Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. Clang, clang, clang goes the trade market. Stop acting so gay. I'm going to be president. Wait a minute. I was doing her husband. Never mind. All right, 45. I don't know. I'm tired. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this? What's going on?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
No extra charge, you scream, for Edie McClurg chair dancing. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I've been talking all morning about how it's just not Republicans I recognize anymore. Here's a case in point. Former First Lady Betty Ford, as you know, passed away over the weekend at 93. Edie, this was a Republican. You remember, she was one of the most popular First Ladies we had. She spoke out often in support of the Equal Rights Amendment, endorsed legalized abortion, discussed premarital sex. She said she talked about how she intended to share a bed with her husband in the White House. That little hussy, can you imagine?
Shocking.
Shocking. You know, obviously talk openly and honestly about substance abuse, and I don't see where the reasonable Republicans are today that have any... They've been teabagged off the edge of the... I was in Arizona, Barry Goldwater's home, my dad's running mate's home state this weekend for the Sexy Liberal Show, and I'm telling you, he would be teabagged right out of the Republican Party. Those black glasses would just fly off.
And Betty Ford was so loved by both ends of the political spectrum that Lynn Cheney and Rosalynn Carter are both going to give the eulogy at her funeral. Yeah. So that everybody loved Betty Ford.
Yeah. Stop trying to get me to her clinic. I'm not going. What? All right. Oh, dear God, Jim. Casey Anthony is too controversial for porn.
What?
Hmm.
They were going to, I don't know which is one, I don't know which, the Vivid, that one, they were going to, they pulled out. They were going to offer.
Prematurely.
Yes, yeah. They were going to offer her a porn deal, but as it turns out, she's not popular, yes.
For some reason.
For some reason, even for porn.
I wonder why.
Yikes. Okay. Oprah will not be hosting the Oscars. There was that rumor out there. That's what they're saying.
That was a weird thing to even think, yeah. I think.
Who can follow Stiffy and Bug Eyes?
Well,
as Bill Maher called them.
If it were Uma and Oprah, I could see them hosting.
Yeah, that'd be funny. That
would, yeah.
See, someone should have the sense
so
of humor to do
the
that.
First time.
Uma, Oprah. He just repeated it and repeated it.
Boy, I thought I was old. They're bringing Dallas back with the same cast? When does that happen?
Who shot JR? I don't care. I need to get to the potty.
TNT is doing an updated version, but it stars Larry Hagman, Linda Gray, Patrick Duffy. Except they are roughly together a billion years old.
Open a shout fork. We got to eat. It's 4 o'clock. It's time for...
It just doesn't seem like there'd be the
got
same...
to get to that seniors special.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard John McCain was going to go to the Sexy Liberal Show in Tucson Saturday, but they had to feed him his cream corn paste at like 5 and put him to bed, so he was very sorry to have missed
Grandpa,
that.
Grandpa, Matlock's not real.
Neither are my teeth, but I can still eat corn on the cob if someone cuts it off and smushes it into a fine paste. Now that's good eating.
Disappointment for everybody that was hoping him to show up at 8. Okay, hey, speaking of food, Katy Perry... It's like that dehydration again. Edie, have you ever had to pull out of a project due to dehydration? It seems like there's so much bottled water everywhere.
She got
food poisoning, I guess. All right. Normally when they just say dehydration, that sounds like bull. But I guess she got food poisoning. She had to pull out of the tour. And she also recently, Jim and Chris, you both have cats.
Yeah.
Yes.
She recently had to hire a cat whisperer to control her husband, her and her husband Russell Brand's trio of unruly felines, Krusty, Kitty, and Purry. Oh, I'm sorry. No, Krusty, Kitty, Purry, and Morrissey, who kept misbehaving while
Kitty
she was on.
Kitty Purry?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get it.
Kitty Purry.
Kitty Purry.
Yeah. He realigned their chakras and did some hypnosis. Some
wow.
Kitty hypnosis.
Stupid kitty.
Kitties are so easy to
I
hypnotize.
How much that cost.
Stupid cats. It's so easy to hypnotize. Your chakras would just sweet. Okay, I don't. That's when how God is telling you you have too much money, Jim, when you can afford a cat hypnotist to realign your cat's chakras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure the hypnotist is realigning the chakras. That's a different job. That's a whole different field of expertise.
All right. Bachman, can you take your organ out for me? Bachman and Santorum, Google it, have signed on to the, what is this called? It's Bob Vanderplatz thing. The family guy, family conservative pledge. He's the Iowa activist. Bachman and Santorum have signed the marriage vow. It's the thing that says, black kids were better off under slavery than under the first black president.
Whatever.
Yay! Yeah. Yay! Whee for more slaves! Yay!
Quiverful movement is what it is. It's a quiver full of children.
Oh, so, really?
Yes, because they want to control birth control and things like that.
Yeah, let me tell you what's in this here pledge. Oh, this is the guy, by the way, that got some of Iowa's, the judges recalled that voted for marriage equality. Uh-huh, mm-hmm. This guy. He Iowa's family leader. It's the marriage vow. Mm-hmm. Here's the things in it. Homosexuality is a choice. Homosexuality is like polygamy, adultery, and polyandry. What's that, Jim? Polyandry?
Polyandry. Oh,
polyandry. Polyandry? What is that?
It means multiple
something.
Men, I think.
Perfect.
What?
Homosexual. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Did I do that on the air?
Did you?
Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes Republican pledges.
You have to hit that button, honey.
They back up on me a little bit. I'm sorry. That didn't go down very well.
Yes, but it says cough, not burp.
Yeah.
So the cough button doesn't work with burps.
There's no fart button? There's no way to mute that. It only says cough.
You're so charming.
See, if you cough, you go. You get, there's just something that you can do that, but you can't do it if you have to. Or. Okay. Homosexuality is a public health risk. That's what's in this here pledge.
Mm-hmm.
I have had a difficult vacation. Leave me alone. I need a vacation from my vacation. Sex is better after marriage. Who doesn't know that?
Well.
Pornography should be banned. Reject Sharia Islam. Blah.
Blah. Is that really a huge problem?
Blah. Oh, by the way, I wonder if Newt Gingrich is going to...
Frankly,
the Republicans, they want to take away the birth control subsidies to defund abortion, but actuality then they will be
causing more abortions.
Causing more births, more offspring, more votes.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's the thing. A lot of the things they want to cut because they're saying, oh, we're fiscal conservatives. It ends up costing us more money over the long term, whether it's a health thing or anything like that. I mean, it is making me the most crazy about this. There's no logic to this argument. There's no actual math or facts that they're applying in this debate. All right.
Yay!
Yay!
More babies all the time.
Things would be so much better if we brought slavery back.
Yay!
Woo!
At least they'd be in a home with a mother and a father.
Aye, listen, my husband's bondage basement looks fun.
Yay!
Whee! All right, Edie McClurg, delightful as always.
Thank the president.
All right. I would like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow with Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woo-hoo!